The title of this sermon is God Completely Committed to This. Are you? God's completely committed to you. He has done it from the beginning. He has never stopped trying to save His people. But are you committed to Him?
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, we worship Your holy name. We honor You. We speak the name of Jesus in this place. We speak the name of Jesus over all the things that we come in contact with. We speak the name of Jesus because it is the name that is above all names. It is the name with all power and authority. It is the name that every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess. It is the name that is forevermore. And God, we thank You for what You've already done in this place. We thank You that we are able to worship You and to praise You, and that You are speaking in this place, that You are speaking to us as individuals and speaking to us corporately, Lord. We thank You that we can call upon You and that You hear us, and that if we seek You, we will find You. We worship You, we praise You, we exalt You. And we ask that You would continue speaking, Lord, that Your Word would be alive to us today, and that You would speak from the throne of heaven to us in this place today. We have come expecting to hear from You, and we ask it in the all-powerful name of Jesus. Amen. The Word that the Lord has given me has already been preached in song. The Word that the Lord has given me was spoken last week when God gave a prophetic word to Lisa. His Word is forever. His Word is powerful, and He will continue to speak it if we will just listen and seek Him. You know, on Wednesday, I got to spend a little time with Wanda, and I told her, I said, please pray for me this week. I'm preaching. She said, oh, okay. She said, is Pastor Jerry okay? And I said, Pastor Jerry is old. And she said, now watch yourself. She said, I'm a little older than him. And I said, well, you don't look it. So, but it is an honor to get to bring the Word. And God is so faithful. And as He was giving me this Word, I'm just always just in complete awe of Him. So we're going to look, and we're going to start in Genesis, and we're going to end in Revelation, and we're going to read all the words in between. So it should be really, really quick, and I'll have you out of here in no time. But let's start in the beginning. Let's start in Genesis 1. We're not going to start in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But we're going to start when God created man in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, let us make man after us. And then He said, let us have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female. The only two. He created male and female. Nothing has changed. And then God blessed them, and He said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I mean, He blessed them and gave them dominion. And in verse 29, God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So he blessed us, gave us dominion, and just gave and gave and gave. From the very beginning, God gave us. Jump over to chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you can freely eat. But just this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. I'm not going to put a fence around it. I'm not going to put an angel with a sword. Just don't. You can have everything. Everything that you can see. It's for you. I've given it to you. But don't eat of this because you'll die. You can have everything. But don't eat of this because it'll hurt you. For any of you that have just started reading the Bible and this is all the farther you've gotten, I hate to spoil it, but they ate of that tree. They did. They ate of it. The one thing he told him not to. You can do anything, but don't eat of this, and you'll die. So they sinned. They sinned. And we think, how did they sin? Well, we also sin. We've all sinned, right? Romans 3:23. What's that say? You don't have to go there. Rick will throw it up here. All. That includes all. Everyone. I have sinned. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what is our prize for that? Death. The wages of sin are death. So we get death. Yes. Right? We've all sinned and we get death. That's in Romans 6:23. I didn't give that trick. But the wages of sin are death. We've all sinned and we get death. But we're still in Genesis. God had a plan. God had a plan right away. Let's go to Genesis 3. So God comes to Adam and Eve. And they've just told him that they were naked. And he said, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of that tree? And Adam steps up and takes full control. And he said, the woman that you gave me, the woman that you gave me, she gave it to me. She ate of that tree and then she gave it to me. But then Eve steps up and she's like, you know what? You're right, right? She goes, in verse 13, the Lord asked the woman, he said, did you eat? And she said, the serpent did it. The serpent tricked me. And then, yeah, I did eat. So the Lord God in verse 14 said to the serpent, because you've done this, you're cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the day of your life. But in verse 15, the plan. The first prophecy in the Bible, and I learned that in the Ministry Training Center. So thank you, Ministry Training Center. The first prophecy, and he says, I will put enmity out between thee and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and it will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. I will take the bruised heel if I step on it so hard it bruises his head. My foot will recover, but you might not recover from a head wound. And let me just tell you, he doesn't. That is the first prophecy. So immediately, God has a plan. He gives us dominion. He blesses us. He gives us everything freely to have. We mess up, and he comes in with a plan. Immediately, to save us from our own mistake. Isaiah chapter 9 is another prophecy of what is to come. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Again, we're getting stuff. It's just being given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. It is forevermore. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this thing. God had a plan. God was sending his son. Almighty God would leave his throne and come to earth as a man because we messed up and we needed help and he was there to help us. Matthew chapter 1. We'll see the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. In verse 20, So Joseph has just found out that Mary was pregnant, and he knew it wasn't his. So he had a few questions. So while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. And he said, Joseph, thou son of David. He said, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus came as man to save us from our own sins, from our own mistakes, from our one-way ticket to hell, for the death that we had earned. And we saw the fulfillment of that in Matthew 27. And we talked about this, and we talk about it often, but in Matthew 27, as Jesus is on the cross, in verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, what did he cry? Tetelestai. He cried, it is finished. I have done it. I have fulfilled it. He said, it is finished. And he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. We now have access to the throne of God. We sinned. We deserve death, we earn death, but because God, from the beginning and forevermore, wants us to be His people, He made a way for us to be His people. So that when God looks on us, He doesn't see our sin, He sees His Son. He doesn't see our filthy rags, He sees the righteousness of Christ and His blood covering every mistake that we've made. The title of this sermon is God is Completely Committed to this. Are you? God's completely committed to you. He has done it from the beginning. He has never stopped trying to save His people. But are you committed to Him? He's done everything. He started it in the beginning with blessings and dominion and said, do anything but this. And we did that one thing. Then we've all sinned and earned death. And He said, you know what? I'm going to send my Son. I'm going to send the spotless Lamb of God to be a sacrifice to do what we could never do. So He died upon the cross. He gave His life for us. He rose again and He's coming again. He is our answer to everything. God's committed to this relationship. Are you committed to it? Are you? Only you know. Only God knows. I don't know. Only God knows my relationship with Him. Only God knows. But He's asking His church and His people, are you committed to me? He's committed to you, and He always has been, and He always will be forevermore. How do we know that He's committed to us? Well, I just told you, but let's look. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's everyone. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, again, everyone, believeth in Him would not have to die and get what we've earned, but instead have everlasting life because of what He did. Not because of what we did, because of what He did. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He did all the work. Every single thing that we needed done, He did. And we just have to accept it. We just commit back to Him because He did it. Did He not? Has He done everything for you? Is there anything that you have to do? Just accept Him. Accept what He did on the cross. Why did He do it? John 15:13. He told His disciples, He said, greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And we look at that and we think, I've accepted Jesus and he's my friend and he laid his life down. But you know what? He did it before we accepted him. Romans chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 6. And this gets a little wordy because Paul was a little wordy. But just stick with it. For when we were without strength, when we were helpless and hopeless, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, which is me, which was you. We were ungodly until we accepted Christ. And it says, for a righteous man would one die. I mean, maybe for a good man would someone dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? Amen. So much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We got atonement because of Christ's work on the cross. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death then by sin. And so death passed upon to every man. For why? All have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin, it's not imputed when there is no law. But nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned. After the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is again a gift. And it's a free gift. For through the offense of one, many were dead, much more by the grace of God. And the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So if one man's offense, Adam, death reigned, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That's where we all sinned and deserve death. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Sin entered by one man, and sin was defeated by one man. Jesus Christ, he came because we couldn't. He came because we would never be able to enter in to the presence of God. We would never be able to make it to heaven without his love and his grace and this free gift of salvation. God's completely committed to us. Are we committed to him? What does God want? You know what he wants? He wants to be our God. And he wants us to be his people. And that's what he spoke last week. And I have it here somewhere. I asked Lisa to write it down. Listen to what he said to us. He said, "You are my people, and I am your God." And then he said, if you will pour your praise out on me, if you will pour all of your love out to me, I will pour out an anointing on you that you will not be able to contain." Who wants the anointing of God so much that they can't contain it? He wants you to have it. So then pour out all your praise, pour out all your love, and that's what he's going to do. He wants to be your God. Will you be his people? He says this all through the Word. So let's go back to the beginning. Let's go to Exodus chapter 6. God told Moses, he said, "Go tell the children of Israel that are in bondage in Egypt this." And we're going to look at a lot of stuff that was said to the children of Israel. We are grafted in with them. We have been saved. We are grafted in. So these words that he spoke to his children Israel, he's speaking to his children the church, correct? God wants to bless you if you've accepted him, right? Yes. So don't get confused. God spoke this, but God has not changed. He's the same when, yesterday, today, and forever. So God said to Moses, he said in Exodus 6 verse 7, he said, tell Israel, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you will know that I am the Lord your God, which brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Jump over to Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. The prophet Jeremiah, speaking again to the children of Israel, but this thing commanded I. I said, obey my voice, and then what will happen? I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And you walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well unto you. What has God commanded us? Open your book and read it. He has told us what he commanded us. It's all in here. Everything that he wants from us and for us, he wrote it down so we wouldn't have to try and guess. Every answer right here. But he said, obey my voice. You're like, sometimes God doesn't speak to me. Yes, he does. He wrote you a book. Sometimes you'll hear it audibly, but he wrote it down. It's right here. Wonder what God wants? Open your Bible. Wonder what God wants? Open your Bible. He wrote it down for a reason. We have access to what God wants from us and what God expects from us and what God has for us in this book. So, God's not speaking. You're not reading. It's that simple. Obey his voice and he will be your God and we will be his people. Jeremiah chapter 11. Just flip over a couple pages. He says this, he says to Jeremiah, he says, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant. That's bad. I would obey. Cursed to the man that doesn't do these things, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace. And I said to them, obey my voice and do them according to all which I commanded you. So shall you be my people and I will be your God. He's committed. He's completely in on you and on you and on you and on me. He's committed to this relationship. 110,000,000%. Obey his voice and he will be your God and you can be his people. Let's jump over to Ezekiel. See if anything changed for this guy. Chapter 11, verse 19. And he says, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. Do you have a new spirit within you? Did you accept Jesus as your Lord and say, I have a new spirit? It's the Holy Spirit. He said, I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And what will then? They will be my people and I will be their God. That's what God wants. But look at the next verse. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own head, saith the Lord God. He's all in. He wants to be your God. But if you choose to go another way, there are consequences. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 1. Then several of the elders of Israel came unto Ezekiel, and they sat before him. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. Idols in their heart. They had stuff in their heart that was more important than God. Do we have anything in our lives or in our hearts that's more important to God? That is an idol. God should be first, foremost, and he should be second, third, fourth, and fifth. He is it, right? He's more precious than gold. He's everything, right? So if you have something that's more important than you to you than that relationship with Him, it's an idol. He said they've set up the idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Should I even answer them? He said, tell them this in verse 4. Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and come to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged. They're separated from me through their idols. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God. He says, you know what? I love you guys. Just stay how you are. Don't worry. You know, I love you. It's fine. He's like, don't worry about it. It's okay. You know what? It's hard. Just do what you're doing, right? No. He said, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourns in Israel, which separates himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I the Lord will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you will know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they will bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeks to him. That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be what? My people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. God's committed to you. He's committed to us. Are we committed to Him? He wants to be our God. He's done everything. And we're like, I don't know. I mean, seems like a lot. You know, I saw a thing the other day, and I see these all the time, and some of them just really stick with me. And one of them said, you know, the sinner believes if you go to God, you have to give up stuff. And he said, it's right. I gave up anxiety. I gave up depression. I gave up fear. I gave up addiction. I gave up loneliness. I gave up sadness. He goes, I gave up all those things when I came to the Lord, because He took them and filled me with joy and love and peace. So yeah, you're going to give stuff up. It's stuff that you don't want, that you don't need, that isn't from Him. God's committed to us. He wants to be our God. So how can we be committed to Him? It's an excellent question. You guys are a great group. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll go back in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. These are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land that you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God. That you might fear the Lord your God to keep all of His statutes, His commandments, which I command you. You, your son, your son's sons, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. He says, hear, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. He is one Lord. He is one Lord. Didn't we just sing that? Yeah, God's preaching. He's one Lord. And hear what He says. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your might. He loves us that way. And He wants us to love Him back. He's committed. Will you love Him with everything that's in you? Deuteronomy 27, verses 9 and 10. Again, this is how we commit to Him. So Moses and the priests, the Levites, they spake unto all of Israel. They said, take heed, listen, hearken, O Israel, this day. You become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, do His commandments and His statutes, which I command you. If you're His people, listen to Him and obey Him. And you're like, you know what though? There's a lot of stuff going on. Have you seen the news? I have seen the news. Have you seen what's going on? Things are bad. Evil is everywhere. It's on full display, is it not? What should we do? We should hide in our churches and houses. Right? Psalm 37. David knew what it was like to be afraid. David knew what it was like to have people want to kill him. The king, his own son, the Philistine. I mean, like, people were always wanting to kill David. So David, in Psalm 37, he says, be very afraid, right? He says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Do you think that would relate to us today? There's a lot of evil going on. Well, don't fret about it. That's a pretty simple. Fret not because of evildoers. Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. Because guess what? They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herbs. So what should we be doing? Trust in the Lord. Do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will bring it to pass. So stop fretting about what's going on. They're not in control. Almighty God is in control. So commit your ways to Him and trust Him. It's hard. You get distracted. It's hard to remember. Super. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works unto the Lord. And then guess what happens? Your thoughts will be established. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. And your thoughts will be from God. What are God's thoughts? They're not fear. They're not stress. They're not anxiety. They are peace and joy and victory. Because He has done all the work and He is victorious forevermore. Matthew 22. I'm really almost done. Verse 36. Pharisee comes to Jesus, trying to test Him and trick Him. And he says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus is like, you know what? I'll just quote Deuteronomy 6:5 to you. He says, you will love the Lord your God. So same instructions they gave Israel. They should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments, you can hang all the law and the prophets. Put God first. Love Him. If you love God with everything that's in you, it'll be easy to love your neighbor and do good. And you're like, you don't know my neighbor. No, but I know God. Love Him. Put Him first. If we do what everything towards Him, that would be a good scripture. Colossians chapter 3. You have got to stop looking at people. You've got to. God tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? No, that's not your attitude. We've got to quit being like, well, you don't understand this person. And you don't understand that. Listen, here's what we need to do in everything. You want to be fully committed to God? Colossians 3, verse 23. I love these words. Whatsoever. Does that encompass everything? If whosoever did in John 3:16, then whatsoever does in Colossians 3. Whatsoever. Every single thing that you do, everything you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. We spend so much time thinking do it to God, do it to God, do it to God. The person that's standing in front of you that you might want to give a big hug to or accidentally slap across the face. Do it unto God. Do it unto God. I'd like to tell... Do it unto God. But do it unto God. And he didn't stop there. He said, do it unto the Lord and not unto men. He knew we needed that part. Not unto men. We're not doing things for other people. Everything we do is unto the Lord, or it should be, and we should be doing it heartily. I'm doing this for God. I'm going to do my job for God. I'm going to drive through traffic when someone cuts me off as unto the Lord. I'm going to sit and wait for my food patiently as unto the Lord. I'm going to go to the grocery store and not ram my cart into the person in front of me as unto the Lord. Everything unto the Lord. Well, you don't know my boss. I know my boss, and it's the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. Your boss is the Lord. It's not some human. It's the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. Knowing that of the Lord you'll receive the reward of your inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he, I didn't even go that far. Do it as unto the Lord. Serve God. He's your master. And you're like, that's a lot of stuff. I don't really, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to do all that other stuff. I told you we'd end in Revelation 3. And this is not to the sinners, this is to the church. And you know this verse. This is what Jesus himself says unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, tell him this. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He says to us, he says to that church, I know your works, that you aren't cold or hot. I wish, I would, that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and not cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. He's committed. He doesn't want to punish us. He wants to be our God and for us to be his people. You are my people. I am your God. If you will pour your praise out on me, if you will pour out all of your love to me, I will pour out an anointing on you that you will not be able to contain. Do you want that anointing? God's fully committed. That's what he is offering us as a church, as individuals. He will give it to you if you will commit to him. God's completely committed, are you? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you did all the work, that you created us, that you blessed us, that you gave us dominion. And when we sin, when we sinned, you sent Jesus. You said, I still love you, and I'm going to give you a way out. I'm going to give you a way out. I'm going to do what you can't do. You sent Jesus. Jesus came perfect, sinless, spotless, and he took my beating. He took those nails that were for us, that we earned. He took them when he didn't deserve them so that we could be reconciled, so that we could come to the Father. God, thank you that you did all the work, that you're fully, fully, completely committed to us. God, let us see that you've done everything and that you want to bless us and commune with us and to be our God. If we'll just keep your commandments, if we'll just seek you, you will be found. It says in your word that you stand in the door and knock, and if we'll just open it, you'll come in and sup with us. God, let us not be like the church of the Laodiceans. Let us not be something that you would want to vomit, Lord, but let us be something that you would be pleased with, that you would inhabit our praises, that you would give us that anointing that you've promised because we push in so hard to you. God, let that be the cry and the prayer of this church, to want more of you and less of us. Right before they start into this song, I'm just going to ask, if you want to say today, I'm committed to you, God. I am in as much as you are, then stand and I will pray over you before we sing this song. Stand in this place if you want to commit to God with everything that's in you, with every bit of your being. If you're saying, God, I want you. I want that anointing. I want your grace, your love, your presence. Then stand to your feet and I'm going to pray right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in that holy name, Lord, you see the hearts of your people. You see this church today, Lord, and we're saying we want you. We're committed to you like you're committed to us, God. I ask that you would pour out that blessing. I ask that you would pour out that anointing that we can't contain it. That your Holy Spirit would splash out of us onto others. That people would see that we serve the mighty risen King of Kings, Lord. And that we would be a light and a witness in the dark of this world, Lord, but that we wouldn't fret over evil, but we would trust you and commit everything we have to you. And God, I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.